bike courier companies have been fined $72,000 for sham contracting. It's the first time the workplace watchdog, the Fair Work Ombudsman, has successfully prosecuted a bike courier company for paying its workers less by treating them as contractors rather than employees. Experts say this case could prompt more legal battles against popular online companies such as Uber and Airtasker that rely on similar business models. Jane Lee reports.
A Melbourne bike courier known only as Mr. B was paid below the minimum wage and struggled to make ends meet from week to week. That's because his employers, Zed Transport Proprietary Limited and Box Bay Proprietary Limited, paid him like a contractor who ran his own business rather than as an employee. The Federal Circuit Court has fined them to deter other companies from sham contracting, given the increasing use of bike couriers in the central business districts around the country.
I think it's a wake-up call for organisations in the digital economy that we have existing regulation and you are obliged to abide by it.
Sarah Kane is an associate professor at the Centre for Business and Social Innovation at the University of Technology, Sydney. She says it's often hard to know whether someone is legally a contractor or an employee when they work for various businesses that offer services via mobile phone apps.
It gets even more murky in areas such as organisations such as Airtasker, who argue that they just simply provide a marketplace for people to exchange the demand for a service and the supply of a service.
And she says people who tend to work for these businesses can be particularly vulnerable to exploitation.
Largely, bicycle couriers are young migrant workers. And that in itself is a particular cohort that perhaps isn't as familiar with industrial regulation, working rights, those kinds of issues. My own research with rideshare drivers shows that there's a bit of a mixed cohort, but again, there is a sizable portion of migrant workers in that workforce.
University of Adelaide law professor Andrew Stewart says we can expect the ombudsman, unions and individuals to continue challenging such companies in the gig economy.
Just a few days ago, there was an appeal decision handed down by a British employment tribunal that found that Uber drivers in that country were covered by minimum wage and working time laws. It's highly likely we're going to see similar cases being brought in Australia as well.
Professor Stewart says the law needs to change to better clarify the definition of employment for these emerging industries.
But there's still a question of whether or not there should be minimum guarantees about wages. Should it be possible for groups of those workers to band together and negotiate better working conditions? I do think there's a challenge here for a future government to step in and think about a range of reforms which both clarify the legal position and provide a better safety net.
And he says that the government might be forced to act sooner rather than later because of the impact the gig economy could have on superannuation.
It's meant to provide a basis for having money set aside funded by employers. But if more and more workers are going to be treated not as employees and therefore as outside the scope of the superannuation guarantee system, well, where's the money going to come from to pay for their retirement? Ultimately, that will force them back on government pensions.
The acting Fair Work Ombudsman, Kristen Hannah, declined an interview with the ABC, but she says in a statement in part, "Disguising an employment relationship by unlawfully classifying workers as independent contractors is a devious way to avoid providing employees with their correct entitlements."
Jane Lee reporting.